Very. How'd you guys find us? Nearby? Wonderful. Welcome. Thank you. Glad to have you here. And how about yourselves?
I can introduce them.
Okay.
That is Paige in the middle is in my class.
Aha.
We are the Deaf and Dull family.
Aha.
And we were talking at open house, and she was saying how much she enjoyed our Easter musical and that she was thinking of coming. And just kind of funny story, I was like, well, you know, it's kind of a small congregation. And she was like, that's great. Well, you know, like a small, intimate little group, community. I was like, yeah, well, we started a little late. She's like, are you trying to make me not come? I was like, no, I just, you know, I'm not everybody. Yeah, so that's the definition.
Right on. Well, welcome, Rachel. Yeah. Nice.
Clara.
And right on. Kids, you won't believe this, but I went there. K through 6, back, there were like dinosaurs roaming on National Boulevard. Haha. Anyhow, welcome, guys. It's great to have you. And, sir, your name? What was your name?
My name is Morris.
Welcome. How'd you find us? How did you find us?
Right on.
Just driving by. All right. Well, sorry to call you guys out. We're holding in a long tradition. My father was the pastor here for 40 plus years. He passed away last 2021, early 2021, and he always asked people to introduce themselves, so we figure we keep that tradition going. So anyhow, sorry to call you out. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer to start. Lord Jesus, so many of us are in pain, Lord God, from all different walks of life, with all different political views, from all different economic situations, Lord God, so many of us are in pain. And the last 2 years have been trying for all of us in different ways, Lord God. But your spirit, Lord God, rejuvenates us. Your spirit fills us with strength. Your spirit fills us with love. Love for those we don't agree with. Love for those we have a different worldview than. It fills us, your love fills us up to love all people, Lord God. And we come here every Sunday. We come here to feel your spirit, to gather together and say, fill us, Lord Jesus, with your love. Fill us with your strength that we might bring that love and strength out to others, not with our words. Not with our words, with our actions, Lord God, to bring your love and to bring your strength to those around us who need it like the starving need food, Lord God. Give us the strength, give us the integrity to be people of love. We thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day. In your name, amen.
The work on earth is done.
We're going to sing a hymn together, hymn number 147, How Great Thou Art. If you have the strength to stand with me, please do.
Thank you. Tired and weak today. Good morning and welcome on this Mother's Day. We're going to do some praise right now. We put the lyrics on the screen. We do three songs. You can sing or not sing. You can stand or sit, whatever you like. And then we'll do a reading from the scripture. Then we'll have our sermon, and we usually close about 12:30, just so you know what's going on. While the musicians are getting set up, I want to take this time to commend all the mothers and say Happy Mother's Day. A hearty happy Mother's Day with the biggest Mother's Day wish to my mom, Darla, the greatest mother I know. Best example, even though I'm far from it. All right. Love you, Mom. Yeah, thank you. I have four daughters myself. They're with my husband today and my mother-in-law and this whole thing. Anyway, we're going to stand and sing. We're going to get our heads and hearts right. And we're getting an encouraging word this morning. So please join us however you like. If you've been around the church for some years, you might recognize these oldies. Here we go.
Give ear to my
I love this one.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again.
Dig deep, man.
To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
You can find a Bible. We're going to read from it.
Remember what?
No, we have to push next.
Ash, you read last night? Before we get into the scripture, I just want to take a moment I want to be clear in what I say because it could be misinterpreted in a bunch of different ways. Steve, can you guys hear me okay? Let me get this closer to my mouth. There was a lot of really, from my perspective, good conversation in regards to different cultures and giving more cultures awareness and representation within our society than have been in the past, and I think that's a very good thing. So what I'm about to say does not pertain to that. It pertains to things like Star Wars Day. We have a lot of things in our society that are like frivolous and, in my opinion, hold next to no weight. And if you're into that kind of thing, and I am into Star Wars, then that's great. But Mother's Day is an important day. And so when you start to give everything, and I'm not, again, this is not a conversation about the positive things happening in our culture. When you give, when everything is special, nothing is special. So the more corporate type things they throw at us in regards to like, this is this day and this is that day, the less that any of them mean anything. Mother's Day is an important day. Unless only a mother can understand to the depth of what it means to grow a human inside of you and bring it into this world. It is one of the most heroic acts that happen within humanity. And it is deeply difficult and taxing to the body and to the spirit. It is an incredible thing. And only if you've stood by a woman as she does that can you then understand to that degree. And for the rest of us who just have moms, you know, you really can't understand what it means to be a mother. And so that, and none of that has to do with like, so if you're not married and you're not a woman, you don't understand. It's not about that. It's just about recognizing the depth and the importance in our society and in our own individual lives that a mother undertakes. The courage and the strength and the love that it takes is really mind-blowing, and it's something that I thought about greatly and haven't told my wife yet, that I thought about greatly about our experience with our 7-year-old and just me watching her over the years and how appreciative I am of the mother she is and what she's done. And I also want to say that to my own mom, who had 5 children and put up with way more than she should have. What a wonderful and amazing and courageous and heroic act it is of being a mother. And so thank you, mothers. Thank you. After Dad passed, we, in the tradition of... that also will come off weird. After Jesus was on the earth, the people that knew him just kind of got together and would share stories. So after our pastor died, my father, we started off just by reading scriptures every Sunday. We didn't have a pastor, and so we would just read scriptures and sing and try to feel God's presence and try to commune with that. And we have felt that despite whatever Gabriel, who is now our interim pastor, whatever message he gets or whatever he is wanting to share outside of that, we're going to continue reading the scriptures. And so sometimes what's on his heart aligns with, you know, connects with that, and he pulls pieces of it, and sometimes it doesn't. So we read through the scriptures each week, making our way. We started in the New Testament, and we're going to make our way through all the way to the end, and we get what we get out of it each week. And we believe the Holy Spirit will lead us to truth through it. So we're in Acts chapter 3, if you'd like to read along. Healing the lame beggar, and we usually only read one chapter, and depending upon how long it is or short it is, sometimes we'll read two. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them, and the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. At the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own prayer or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Let's read that again. "Therefore, repent and return so that God will be happy with you." Sorry, I got that wrong. "Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, and which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announce these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways." And we'll pick up with chapter 4 next week.
Feels better to have this big thing here, Steve. That way when I pound, I look more authoritative. Good morning, everyone. I often find it ironic that I'm the... Hey, Miss Bhatti. that I have kind of found myself in a situation standing in front of people and speaking because I hated it my entire life, Todd. Not that I was a shrinking wallflower necessarily, but public speaking was not something that I liked to do. My dad made me do it all the time. All the time. So let that be a testimony to you all that if I find myself speaking publicly, that anything that you might have problems with, they can indeed be overcome. I'd also like to say, you know, this is all just gravy to Steve. This isn't even the real deal yet. As a teacher, I see a lot of kids, and you can kind of tell their character gives credence to the way they were raised. And I just want to say, the Deppendall children have been a blessing. And poor Paige has to listen to my boring history lectures all week, and now she's no extra credit. She's just got to come for the good of it. Anyways, be blessed, Paige. This is suffer through. There's salvation in suffering. Before I begin, I'd like to thank all of you for coming here and making this possible. It's a blessing. You know, I've been talking to people who are close to me, and I do raise two children by myself. I teach at Redeemer here down the stairs, and I work at Trader Joe's. And when people heard that I began speaking at church, they said, "Dude, how do you do so much?" I think that's a shift in perspective. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. So much of our lives are automatic. Our phone wakes us up in the morning. We get in the shower. We brush our teeth. We go and things just kind of happen. And then we find ourselves somewhere middle of the week. And we haven't really thought about what we've been doing. And speaking up here gives me the opportunity to re-examine, to think about what I'm doing, because I'm going to be sharing it on Sunday. And so I just thank you for that opportunity. It's a blessing, and I hope to be able to live up to it. I had something planned about the dual nature of God and the devil, and I had done research into Zoroastrianism, ancient Persian religion, about there's the good power and then there's like the bad power, and I was going to liken that to God and the devil, and I had kind of put this in my mind. But on Friday we had chapel here, and they were singing, and it was beautiful, and they were calling kids up to pray to Jesus, and the kids were hugging each other, and everybody's crying, and I was blessed by that. But it made me think about the nature of salvation and what does that mean. And I think it means a number of things. But I would like to argue, when Jesus was here on earth, he radiated power and authority. When the men accuse him of blasphemy and they're going to throw him off the cliff, he passes through their midst because they couldn't touch him because of the authority that he had. When Lazarus was dead in a hole, Jesus calls him out because of the authority that he had. When I'm in class and I ask a student to sit down and get out their notes, they listen to me because in Redeemer, I have a small amount of authority. If I'm walking down the street and tell a 12-year-old to sit down and be quiet, they'll probably give me the finger and I'll deserve it because I don't have authority there. Jesus had authority over all of the earth, which he had been given by his Father. He lived a relatively short time here on earth. And as he was about to die, his disciples are distraught. They don't know the whole plan yet. They're following him because of his power and his authority, but they don't know the plan yet. And Jesus tells them, I'm going away. And where I go, you cannot go. But then he says, it's better for you that I do go. What? How could it be? A man who's raising the dead, healing the sick, it's better without you here? That's crazy talk. As a young man, in my arrogance, I would always try and poke holes in things. How could it be better that Jesus would go? Because he says, I will send you a helper. And that helper will lead you into all truth. The helper grants salvation. Salvation from what? From all things. In history class in 8th grade, not Page class, we're talking about U.S. history. In 8th grade history class, we're talking about the Protestant Reformation. And in the Protestant Reformation, the Catholics have always believed a certain thing. We took communion last Sunday. We do it at the first Sunday of every month. And for most Baptists or non-Catholics, the taking of communion is metaphorical. Jesus says, if you believe in me, do A, B, and C. Well, I believe in you, so I do the thing. Catholics believe that when you pray over the crackers or the bread or whatever it is, that it miraculously changes its substance, transubstantiation. And that when you pray over the wine, or in our case, grape juice, it miraculously changes its molecular substance into the blood of Jesus. Hemoglobin and all, I would assume. They disagreed so strongly on what I would consider kind of a relatively small thing that they killed each other over it. They believed so strongly that they were right and the others were wrong, that they were willing to kill fellow Christians over it. Is that the gospel? Is that salvation? I'm right about the blood and the wine? Salvation is to be saved from all things. Jesus talks about the good tree and that how it only produces good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The helper helps me produce that good fruit. This week I'm taking the 8th graders to Washington, D.C. and trying to do everything, and I get so caught up with anxiety and worry and stress. But the Holy Spirit can save me from that. If I can take the time, take a step back, and pray and listen, I would argue that's the gospel. Each and every thing that troubles us, with perseverance, integrity, and the Lord's help, we can be saved from it. Worry, illness, bigotry, anger, lust, all of it, we can be saved from it because there's a helper. There's so many distractions in this world. The devil wants us to think about the opposing political party. Look at how dumb those people are. Look how wrong they are. And it takes us away from looking inside ourselves and listening to the Holy Spirit. And now we're looking at them. Jesus sent his son so I could tell the other political party that they're dumb and wrong. No. Jesus sent his son to die for me so that he can send me the helper. So when I'm lying awake, worried about what's going to happen to my children, that I have an answer. I have the helper. When I'm going through my daily life, I have help. He saves me from those things. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour me because I have the helper. I lived so much of my life arrogantly believing that I didn't need help. Those suckers going to church every Sunday. Have a good time, sheeple. Not me, though. Got it all figured out. Not me, though. Smart. As I stumbled and stumbled through life, blind and ignorant, it wasn't until I slowed down and thought, I need help. I need help raising my children. I need help driving on the freeway without getting angry. I need help finding meaning in my existence. All questions, small and large, can be answered. Salvation, save you. Being saved from every malady. That's what I believe the gospel is. The Holy Spirit sent through Jesus is the Savior. And only by listening to him can we be saved. Salvation to heaven, I've already got that. I already have that, but I need more than that. I need answers. I need help. I need a Savior. Life is difficult. We're celebrating Mother's Day. Being a mother is hard, I would imagine. Being a father is also difficult. Sometimes I don't know how to communicate to my children. I love them and I want the best for them. But sometimes in my love for them, I'm frustrated and why can't they just hear what I'm trying to say? When I pray about it, the answer comes through. He helps me communicate with my children. He helps me in every answer that I have. The world is constantly changing, and we need help in every aspect. We need the Savior. What Jed was just reading about Acts, when we talk about early Christianity, many of the disciples at that time thought that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. Paul says, those of us who remain, those of us who remain will meet him. The problems that Paul had are not the same as the problems that I have. Does that make sense to my... In 2,000 years ago, they didn't have to worry about the internet or traffic. Paul needed help back then. I need help right now. I need help yesterday. I need help in 5 minutes. I need help in 50 years. But due to the nature of the Holy Spirit, He meets me where I'm at. It's for all of us. We get plugged in to the Helper. Jesus was one man walking around. He raised Lazarus. But He didn't raise anybody in China because He wasn't there. So He has to go to send us a helper that can be everywhere to everyone in all of their problems. The help that Aiden needs is not the same help that I need. It's dynamic. It's mobile. It's the perfect solution to all of life's problems. When I was working at Trader Joe's the other night, I was stocking the almond milk. And I was kind of cold. And I was pretty salty. Because I didn't want to be at work. And I, in my kind of cold and salty nature, I started thinking of all of the things that were unfair. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I got a list. I'm making a list and I'm checking it twice. What do I got to do this? It's cold. I'm just upset about life. Kids always hungry. Got to buy them more food. Just joking, Aiden. And I'm thinking about all of the things, and the devil clouds my mind with all of the injustices of the world, all of the things that I deserve, all of the things that I'm not getting, looking ahead at all of the things that I got to do. And I kind of thought, what's even the point? What's even the point? Right? Work here, make some money, spend the money, go back to work, make some more money. What's the point? The rat race is what they call it, Todd. Yeah, Todd, you're deep in the rat race, Todd. But when I was able to start to pray, to stop moaning and thinking of how all of the wrong things about me, when I started to pray, the Helper saved me from that bleak outlook. The Helper, my salvation from the meaningless aspect of stocking almond milk that will be taken and bought so that I can Sisyphusly push back up the almond milk. I'm saved from that bleak existence because the Holy Spirit gives me meaning to my life. He grants me clarity and peace. He says, this job allows you to provide for your children whom you love. It's not a terrible thing you have to do. It's a good place where you earn money. When I come home and I see that my daughter has not cleaned her room again, and son, sorry, Aiden. And I start hearing all of that same litany. You work all night in that refrigerator stocking almond milk, and this is the thanks you get. He saves me from it. He saves me from it. No, Gabriel. They just need a little guidance. Preferably not sarcasm. Dang it. He saves me in my relationship with my children, in my relationship with my boss, in my relationship with my coworkers. For years, I walked around arrogantly, thinking that my self-loathing was humility. It wasn't until I actually humbled myself and listened to the Holy Spirit that I began to humble myself. And when I did, my coworkers saw me differently. That's the gospel. I could have yelled till I'm blue in the face and nobody would have ever listened to me because why would they? I had no answers. I was a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. I needed to be saved from my arrogance. I didn't want to admit that I was arrogant. I didn't want to admit that about myself. But the more I prayed about it, the more the Holy Spirit reminded me of the things that I said and did. And instead of beating myself up, I resolved to humble myself. And all of these things were added to me. I give my students life lessons all the time. Poor kids. I desperately want them to be everything they want to be. But there's no magic word. It's only by living my life as best as I can that I might be an example that they might be able to learn something from. But fortunately, they have the same helper that I do. All of us, whatever it is in your life that's causing you harm, pray and He will save you from it. It could be something big like drugs and alcohol. It could be something little like irritability or gluttony. Whatever it is, He saves you from it. That's who He is. That's what He does. It's His nature. He can't do anything else. Why your water can't be fire. The help... getting worked up. I'm sorry, Todd. The nature of the helper is to save us. If we will just look to Him. I just got to remind myself all of the time. All of the time. So do you. I show up to church and I start... The devil whispers all of the things that I could have been doing differently. What if the church does this? What if this happens? What if that happens? I can't do anything except for work on myself. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Peace, Gabriel. Peace. Live your life with integrity. And if you do, they'll see it. Pray about it. If you have a genuine heart, people will see it. Good people doing good things. He saves me. He saves me from my fear. He saves me from my self-loathing. He saves me from my anger. He saves me. Not when I die in 200 years in the cyber wars on Mars, Todd. He saves me today, here, now. When I drive down to Manhattan Beach and I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off and I can feel the heat rising. He saves me from that. When I go home and I feel alone and sad, He saves me from that. I'm not alone. I have the Holy Spirit. I have my children. When I go to work and I feel overwhelmed and stressed, He saves me from it every day. The more that I put in, the more that I get out. It is good and right for the children to pray. It is good and right for the children to sing and to hug their teachers. It is good and right to pray to the Holy Spirit for help. It is good. It is right. And He'll save you. He'll save you from every disease. He'll save you from every unknown question. He'll answer it with perseverance, with integrity. He'll guide you. It is good. It is very good. The Creator of all things sent His Son to save an arrogant young man named Gabriel. To save me from my own ignorance and arrogance. To save my son and my daughter. To save my students and my family. To save everyone in the world. But we get so caught up. If there's help, then why aren't we all helped? Because we get so distracted. What do these people think? What are these people doing wrong? What is this thing that I'm missing? I'm getting a Steam Deck. I don't know if you guys know what that is. Steam Deck's like it's like a portable video game device. I like toys. And I'm going to 8th grade, and I had ordered it because I wanted to be able to play my video games while the kids are on TikTok or whatever it is. And it was supposed to come in on Saturday. And I was like, oh, perfect. Come on Saturday, do all my cool stuff, then it will leave on Tuesday. It'll be rad. Then I got an email that said it's not going to be here till Tuesday. That small thing, it's such a tiny thing. But then I started to get stressed about it, right? And then I started blowing it up in my mind. Dude, you spent all that time, you did the thing, and it was going to do the thing, and now it's going to come and right when you don't need it? That little thing started to spin me out of control. I started to get frustrated. So I called FedEx, customer support. Excuse me, I believe I received an email, right? And then the lady from Bangladesh, I was a foreigner, she's trying to help me, and I'm frustrated. And she's transferring me to other lines, right? They're all trying to do their thing. And now this toy that I had bought for my grown adult self, because I was thinking, like, I'm a paying customer. These little things that we get, that'll stress us out. The devil constantly wants us looking at all of the other things instead of listening to the helper. He wants you focused on your coworker. He wants you focused on the person who can't drive in front of you. He wants you focused on everything besides looking inside to the helper. So be encouraged this week. Be faithful this week. Not for salvation to heaven. You got that. Be faithful this week to look for the helper. To save you from your stress, from your bills, from your disobedient children. I know nobody would have any of those. I don't. I certainly don't. He'll save you from every single thing as long as we are faithful to stop and pray. Stop and pray. It's just a toy, Gabe. You'll be okay. It's just a little traffic, Gabriel. You'll be okay. You can't change what they will do. You can only change what you will do. I got to try and be the man that I want everybody to see. Not try and convince them that I'm somebody I'm not. And if I can do that, that will be a greater testimony than any other words. Be blessed this week. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. It is better that I go. Why? Because I'm going to send you a helper, and he will lead you into all truth. Thank you. Thank you for being here this week. Be blessed in your travels. Be blessed in your job. Be blessed in your body. Be blessed in your life. Be blessed in your relationships. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Lord, you're the Redeemer. You are the Savior. You help us and you guide us. Remind us all this week, Lord, when we see something online that bothers us, remind us to pray and look inside of ourselves. When we are confronted with challenges and obstacles, give us peace, give us strength, give us integrity, give us wisdom. Guide us this week, Lord. Protect us. Protect us from every illness, from every disease, from every hurtful word. Protect us, guide us, and bring us back next week, Lord, with praise reports of your good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing hymn number 308, and then we'll be dismissed. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful week. You are dismissed, and happy Mother's Day, mothers.